Good morning. Hey, I'm Pastor Rob, one of the teaching pastors here at Fox River. We may not have gotten the opportunity to meet. Hope we do at some point, though. I'm not usually hanging out here on a Sunday morning, so that's probably why we've not gotten to meet. Or it's your first time with us. We want to say welcome to Fox River. Good to have you here. We're trying to set you up for success when it comes to this period of time. And we know what that period of time is. We have many different terminologies, but we got Thanksgiving coming, right, this week. We got Christmas coming as well. So we're in this series called Breathing Room, because it's our hope and our anticipation that you'll have some and leave some breathing room in your life. But how many have already felt the pressure of the season? You're already feeling it. You're all in retail, right? Okay, maybe not. You already see it, though, don't you? Because now it's no longer Black Friday. It's what? Pre-Black Friday. Have you seen that? I think I got a little notification on my phone from Walmart even saying, pre-Black Friday sale. Come check it out. And so it's already begun. As I'm driving by, you know, McDonald's, I see a Christmas tree on the top of a car already. It's like, oh, yeah, we got to do that sometime here soon, you know. But it's already started, hasn't it? And so with that, some pressure sometimes builds and those types of things. And so we've talked about, really, Pastor Guy set us up last week to make a decision, really, to be busy and blessed, because the busyness is not going to go away, rather than to be crazy busy. You might be wondering, well, so what is crazy busy? So I thought, hey, how can we, you know, describe this? Well, you might be crazy busy, think about these things, if your to-do list is a list of to-do lists. You're crazy busy. Or if your cell phone vibration has worn a hole in your pocket, you might be crazy busy. You also might be crazy busy if you can't remember if you ate lunch or just thought about eating lunch. You have bigger problems too besides that, okay? You might be crazy busy if you offer your trainer more money if they will let you out of the session early. You might be crazy busy if waiting for the light to turn green feels like a vacation. And, I like this one, you might be crazy busy if you commit to drink less water because the trips to the bathroom take up too much of your time. Busyness is something that we have to wrestle with. And so, like I said, we're trying to help you with that and to be proactive with it, because if we just wait for things to sneak up on us, they probably already have. And so to look at it and say, what do we do about this? Because there's going to be all kinds of options out there on how to spend your time, just like there is every single day. How many of you would say, you know what, I anticipate being busier this month than I was even last month? Okay, many of us do. Maybe some things have changed where that's not necessarily the case, but there's going to be parties to go to, right? There's going to be shopping to be done. There's going to be meals to be cooked. There's going to be all kinds of things that take place. Good things, time hopefully with family, with friends that you're able to spend. And so those are great things to do, but they can pack so many things into our life that other things can easily get bumped out, and we don't want that to happen. So what happens is Jesus gives us some great insight into this, in this idea of busyness even, and he calls them distractions. And we find a conversation between him and another lady, and her name is Martha. And I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, go ahead and grab one of the ones in the seat there. You'll find it on page number 1615. Now, a lot of times when we look at some of Jesus' teaching, we do it in the form of a parable. This is not a parable. This is a historical happening, a conversation that actually took place, like I said, between Jesus and a woman named Martha. There's some other people that are involved in this as well. But to give you a little bit of an idea on who Martha was, seemingly we find out that she was a very good friend of Jesus. And probably what would happen is that Jesus would stop by her house on his way to Jerusalem, to and from, because she was only about maybe 5 miles in a place called Bethany. One of the things that she's most known for is there's a couple of times that you see her, actually 3 or 4 times throughout the New Testament, but she has a very famous brother. What made him famous was that Jesus brought him back to life after he had been dead for a few days. Anybody know his name? Lazarus, right. Phenomenal happening there. You want to just see one of the most powerful miracles that Jesus ever performed. It's bringing back Lazarus from the dead. And so that's her brother. Now, that had not happened. Well, no, it may have, actually, this point, but it's not happening in this passage when we read it. But we do get to see a great dialogue here that will help us with this whole idea of distractions and being busy, because crazy busy can be an issue. So let me ask if you would look at chapter 10. Let's start in verse number 38. We're just going to read down to part of verse number 40 to start with here. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, okay, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now picture this, okay? It's not just to him, but how many guys does he have with him, do you suppose? 12, okay? 12. They show up at her house, probably unannounced even. So they came to that village, and it says, verse number 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was, catch this next word, would you say it with me? Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Let's stop there. Anybody feeling a little distraction coming up sometime this week? You might not call it a distraction. You might call it vacation. You might call it break. I don't know. But many preparations being done, maybe like Wednesday night. Anybody got some preparations to do? Okay, all right. Anybody just sitting back enjoying the preparation somebody else is doing? Okay, all right, good. We can see it happening, right? And so Jesus says she's distracted. Well, what we can understand is this, is that busyness, that crazy busy that we're talking about, is actually when busyness becomes a distraction. Because like I said, it's probably not going to be just getting rid of the busyness, okay? There's going to be all kinds of things to fill our time with. But when busyness becomes a distraction, we have an issue. We have a problem even. And so Jesus is going to point that out through this conversation that Martha actually initiates. She's going to bring it up. She's going to talk about her busyness even. But Jesus already knew that because she saw all the preparations. Now, when you read this and when you think about it, you feel a little sorry for Martha. It's like 13 grown men show up at her house. It's like, okay, I think I'd be saying, hey, why don't you keep on going, guys, okay? I'm not ready for this. I'm not sure that I can handle this even. That's not what takes place. She goes ahead, invites them in, has them stay with her. So what is that distraction? Well, simple definition, if I can give that to you. What does it mean to be distracted? It simply means to be drawn away, to be drawn away from what is most important. Usually it's mentally, to be divided in our thoughts, have divided thinking. Something is pulling at you, and you can feel the tension because it's pulling at what's most important or what you at least believe or have set up or someone else maybe has set up for you, something that is very, very important. And so you can feel that tension taking place. Well, she had several of them because sometimes we can get to a point where we have so many things going on, we're not even sure which one is most important anymore because we have so many things that are pulling at us, and we'll talk about that as well because many of those things are good things, but they become problematic when they become a distraction. So what's the danger in this? There are actual dangers in this distraction. And we're going to see what happens here. So let's go back to our passage, okay? Follow again in verse number 40. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So this is what happens. She came to him, talking about Jesus, and asked. Now think about this question, okay? This is what she asks. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Wow. Anybody feeling like, I'll help. I can jump right in there and I can fix this right now. You're probably a task person, aren't you? Either that or a people person just feels really, really bad for her right now. But it's like, I can do that. I can fix this. We'll just get it taken care of. You ever think of all the things that she could have asked Jesus? This is what she asks. And what does she ask? A very important question. But a question that comes up because there's too much on her plate. And when you get so busy, when you get into that crazy busy period, you're probably asking the same question. What is it? Does anyone care? because you have more than you can handle and you're wondering if anyone else notices. Who did she ask if they cared? Here's when the right answer in church is Jesus, okay? She's asking Jesus if he cares. What does he have to do with this, right? It's like, what in the world? He just showed up at her house. And yet, when we get so busy that things are just kind of falling apart around us, and it's like, wow, I don't know where to focus my energies, we can easily get in that same place where we begin to look at other people and wonder, do they care? We can even look to God and say, God, if you cared, rather than asking the question, making the accusation, if you cared, you would do something about this. You would fix this. That shows there's an issue, right? That questioning bleeds into something we call resentment, another major danger of being too busy from distractions. And that is when we see others as the cause of the problem. How do we know she saw someone else as the cause of the problem? Because what was her fix to the problem? Would you go and tell my sister, basically command my sister to get in the kitchen right now? So now she's involving her sister as well as God, saying, you are the cause of my problem, and so you can fix this for me. That's what we call resentment, because now something that someone may even be totally clueless that's going on in your heart, you're painting them as an enemy, as someone who is out to get you. Because if they were your friend, they would see all the things you have going on and they would come and help you. You ever been there? And then when they don't come and help, it gets worse, doesn't it? Because then it's like, you don't care about me, do you? Mary had no clue, probably, what was going on until she revealed this. Jesus, being God, probably had a clue what was going on. And so you'd think, you know what? He's going to fix this, right? We don't ever find out if he fixes it. But what he does is something very important. He goes right to the heart of busyness. He goes right to the heart of the danger zone that she is in right now. And he speaks to her heart. He doesn't fix the problem, because there are all kinds of ways that that probably could have taken place, but we don't get to see any of them, but we do get to see the conversation. So we see here in Luke 10, chapter 10, verse number 40, this discussion take place. So it's her request of him. Let's look at it again. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. That's exactly how it went, right? Would you read this last part with me here? Tell, okay, together. Tell her to help me. Is that how she said it? No, so let's say it like she said it, right? Tell her to help me. You see, when things are crumbling around us, we don't just say, Jesus, I just have a request of you. Could you ask someone to help me, please? That's not what's happening. I can almost guarantee it. But isn't this weird? Anybody else sit there thinking, I'm glad I wasn't in that room, because who's she talking to? She's talking to God, right? She's saying, God, tell her to help me. You have the power to fix this. Tell her to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but isn't this the guy who fed 5,000 people? I don't think it would be beyond him to figure out a meal for 13, right? There could have been all kinds of other ways to fix this. There could have been better ways to ask the question. But to command God, that's a little over the top here. How'd she get over the top? Because she is so frustrated, she doesn't know what else to do with it anymore. And she's willing to have an open, honest, maybe too honest conversation with God. You've been there before? If you've ever been busy, you've probably been there before. Maybe you haven't thrown out the command to him, but maybe you've thought the thought that, God, you need to fix this because this is a problem. And that means you've entered into a place here of not only questioning, but probably resentment as well. Another danger is simply this. It's sincerity with misdirection, probably one of the most difficult dangers of being busy, crazy busy from distraction, is that you are doing the things that you're doing in all sincerity, believing I am doing the right thing. I am doing this for God himself. So what's the problem? And yet you're misdirected. And Jesus is going to point out there's some misdirection going on here. And it can relate quite a bit to us where we're at in this season. I don't know about you, but when I get crazy busy, here's what I find myself thinking. I can't wait till it's over. Anybody else like that? Thanksgiving, I can't wait till it's over. Christmas, I can't wait till it's over. Anybody see a problem with that? That's an issue. Family gathering, I can't wait till all these people get out of my house. That's an issue. That's a problem. You see, when Martha was making preparations, who was she making preparations for? Who? You guys, come on. You can help me out here a little bit, all right? I'm not tricking you. Who? Jesus. She's making preparations for Jesus at what expense? She's not spending time with who? Jesus. You see, if the preparations cannot be done pretty close to before the person arrives, they're going to bleed into a busyness that takes away from the time that is intended to be spent with the person we're making the preparations for. If you're still cooking for the guests that you made that meal with so you could sit down with them and share time with them, you have an issue. And maybe it's to hide. It might be. I'm a little more task-oriented. Any task-oriented people here? Okay, this is for us, isn't it? We can hide behind our tasks. And sometimes we can get so caught up in our tasks that we don't have time for God himself, for Jesus. We can get through Christmas and say, man, I'm glad that's over with, at least for this year. And that's not a good place to be. And that may mean that we're in that crazy busy place rather than busy and blessed. And God wants us to be busy and blessed because the busyness, yes, it will be difficult, but we need to be able to see God in the midst of it. And so that sincerity did come with misdirection. And what that means, and again, for those of us who are a little more task-oriented, means this: don't confuse motion with success. Oftentimes, motion or busyness, we say, you know what? I'm good because I did this and I did it for God himself. It's like, not always. Not always. We have to look at what are our actions. You know, he's not against serving. We've talked about serving just recently. Even with the Good Samaritan, it's just the parable that comes right before this interaction here. He's teaching the importance of serving, of helping others. But not at the expense of why we're doing it and who we're serving and why we're serving them. And so we need to look at that and make some adjustments. And so Jesus begins to make adjustments. Like I said, he goes right to the heart. And he brings some great teaching in here. And what happens is he responds to her. Let's look at verse number 41. Picture Jesus saying this: Martha, Martha. Twice, right? Twice. Might want to get a point across, or maybe he's giving her a little breathing room. He'll say it twice so she has a little time to think about it, right? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. She's distracted here. Sometimes it uses the word, you're anxious. And I have the answer to that anxiety, to that worry, to those things that are going on around you. I am the answer. And so he begins to unfold that just a little bit. And when we get in those times where we're so caught up in all the tasks, we need to do the same thing. And what we have to do is recognize this, that oftentimes when things get crazy busy, one of the first things to go is our time with God. And that's what he wanted from her. And we begin to say, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to spend with family, with friends. I don't have time, God. And so it's one of the easy things to drop, to say, you know what? I know what, God's got big shoulders. He can handle that if we don't talk, you know. Not a big deal. It won't impact our relationship. I'll go to him when I need him. It's like, no, that's become a distraction at that point in our life. And so rather than fix the problem, we have what I call the false antidote. We fall into this belief that says this: the answer is to get it all done. How's that going for you? How many of you are task-oriented? How many of you are task list, to-do list addicts? Anybody going to admit to that right now? Means you've got one that's going in the garbage, the other one's already three-quarters of the way filled out, right? It's like, wow, I've got to get it checked off. That is not the answer. It's not. You will always have more things to do than you'll ever be able to accomplish. If not, you got a different problem. There are going to be all kinds of things. And so the answer is not to jump on the treadmill and run faster and faster and faster. He's going to tell us actually what to do. And he brings it back to great simplicity. But the antidote is not to get it all done. So here's my question for you. And I'd ask you to fill something in this blank here. It's left blank for you on purpose. But what is pulling at me right now? What is it? Could be family. Could be job. Could be a health issue. What is pulling at you that is a distraction? And you know, because your mind goes back to it regularly and it divides your attention. Hope that you can put something in there. At least recognize and say, you know what? This is a distraction. It is not the most important thing in my life. And there may be multiples of them. Again, for Martha, there were many of them. Why do we need to know that? Because we need to deal with the distractions. How do we do that? Let me give you just a few things that will hopefully be beneficial for you here that we'll see in the passage. First thing is this: stop blaming others. What do you mean by that? Do you see what Martha thought was the fix to her problem? What was it? Have Mary come and help me. That's not the fix to her problem. Otherwise, Jesus would have said, okay, Mary, get in the kitchen, all right? Let's get this done. After the food preparations were done, then what would have happened? I need to clean the table, right? I need to put the food away. I need to put the leftovers away. Then what would have happened? Oh, this house is a mess. I need to start cleaning. Would she ever gotten to the point of sitting with Jesus? Probably not, because there's always going to be something else to do. You can't blame others. Do you know why? Because you're the only one who can fix your busyness. You might be saying, I disagree with that, because the problem for my busyness is my boss. How many of you that's the case? Okay. If they're not here, you're okay, unless they watch it online later. We can think that, right? The worst thing is when you're self-employed. You got a real big problem then, if that's the cause of your busyness. How many busyness is your kids? You're running around to all kinds of things, you know? It's like, wow, there's a lot to do because of the stage of life I'm in. It doesn't mean that you stop all those things, but you can't blame them. They're not the issue. You're the one. You're the one who has to have the conversation with the boss. You're the one who has to say, you know what? I can't function this way anymore. You might say, well, I might lose my job. That's a hard position to be in. There's going to be great temptation. Just leave things as is. Parents, you don't get rid of your kids just because they cause you too much busyness, okay? But you might have to figure out some things and say, hey, we got to slow down, guys, here, okay? We got to look at what's most important. We got to get to that point again. But it's you that's going to make the decision. You may have someone who comes in just for a small time and say, hey, I see you're busy. I'd like to help you out. But how long is that going to last? Not very long. They might help you out for a little while, and then it's going to be all back in the same place again. It's not someone else who's going to be able to fix it. So don't blame them. Look at what you're able to do. And then we need to adjust our priorities. Jesus is helping her adjust her priorities. And he does it in a very, very helpful way that we can all learn from. There are a few times in the Bible that you will see God point out the most important thing. One of those times is when he says, seek first. How many firsts are there? There's one in that case. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God, that is the most important thing we can do. When someone said to him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment. How many greatest are there? One. He says, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And he says, and there's a second one like it. He says, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. He says, there's one and two right there. Priority is what he's given. He's saying, you need to have priority. In other words, when you get distracted, you need to be brought back to what is the most important thing. Now, here's the issue. We have choices, don't we, in life? And when we have choices, sometimes we choose one thing over another. You know what? When it comes to choosing between good and bad, no problem, is it? Now, I'm not saying I always get it right, but I know better when I don't. In other words, if the choice is, should I lie or should I tell the truth? Guess what? I know which one to choose. I do. But when you're choosing between good and good, anybody else have a problem figuring that one out? God, should I be serving the meal or should I be sitting at your feet? You tell me which one's right. God, should I right at this moment help this person out, knowing that if I help this person out, then I can't help this person out? Anybody struggle with that? You have all kinds of parties probably, okay, most likely, that you're going to be invited to, right, over these next few days, even this next month. Anybody have a struggle with that? Do I go to this person's house or do I go to this person's house? That's easy. Whoever has the best food, okay, that's where you go. But it's hard, isn't it? Because, like, those two options, they're, like, equal. How do I figure this out? What am I supposed to do? It's like pitting good against good. And so he says, no, it's not pitting good against good, because I'm going to give you what is best. And there's only how many bests? One best. He says, best is the one thing. Look at what he does. He uses Mary as the example to help Martha to understand something. He's not saying, hey, we don't need dinner. He's not saying, know what, don't ever serve me. It's not what he's saying. He's not pitting the two against each other. He's not saying, look, if you're a task person, your priorities are wrong. But what he's saying is this: you cannot forget to prioritize me as number one. And so let's look here at verse number 42. He says this: but few things are needed. And then he does a correction here. Look at this. But few things are needed. Why, if he left it at few things, how many does that leave open to? More than one, right? She could say, yeah, there's a few things needed, and I'm doing all of them. So he makes a correction here. He says, but few things are needed, or indeed, only what? One. Why? Because I can understand one. Then my choice is, am I going to do the one or not? And that's what she needed. And when we get stuck in crazy busy, we need to be brought back to what is the most important thing that God wants me to prioritize, to make sure is in my schedule. It will not be the only thing I do, but what is number one at the top of the list? And I make sure that it is done every single time. What is it? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, I'm not going to send Mary to go and to prepare, because she's doing exactly what she needs to do. Now, we don't see Martha drop everything and come. We don't know. Maybe that happened, maybe not. But what we understand is this, is that Mary was at Jesus' feet, and that's where he wanted her. Not in a servant manner even, but in a manner that we all need to come back to ourselves. We need to make sure that busyness is not distracting us. Busyness detracts from the most important business that we have. And when it does, we have a problem. And I say, what is that? It's the one thing he was talking about. What is the one thing? We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and make that priority number one. What does it mean to sit at the feet? Sit at the feet of someone is actually an old term. It was something that Aristotle did at the feet of Plato. He sat at the feet of Plato. Then Plato sat at the feet of Socrates. And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And I said, well, what does that look like? She sat there and learned from him. She sat there and she worshiped him. She made him the most important person in the room and in her heart. And that's what she did. And that's what God wants us to do. Think about the sad commentary if we go through Christmas and that isn't the case, right? The guilt that'll be on our shoulders getting through Christmas saying, wow, I didn't see Christ in Christmas. And so I have two applications for you. One of them is a Christmas application. You got plenty of time on this one, okay? But it really has already started, hasn't it? Because it includes Thanksgiving too. Keep Christ in Christmas. Do all the other things, but keep Christ in Christmas. Let him be number one. You may say, how do I do that? If you get a head start on it, it'll happen naturally. Head start is simply this. The number one way to keep Christ in Christmas is to be in his presence every single day. To sit at his feet every single day. For me, that looks like this. Making sure. And I don't do it every day. I wish I could say that I did. Open up his word and saying, would you speak to me? Would you show yourself to me? Would you reveal yourself to me, God, my God? Why is that so important? Imagine this. Imagine putting yourself in that room, in that conversation. You're crazy busy if you don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus, right? Can you imagine missing that opportunity to have Jesus in your home and not spend time with him? But is it much different than the crazy busy that we experience? When we have access to the God of the universe to sit at his feet because he reveals himself to us, because he offered relationship to us, and we say what? No, thank you, I don't have time. That's crazy busy. And only you can change that. So my challenge to you is this. Would you make a commitment from now all the way through Christmas, and hopefully beyond, but just take that chunk right now, that you will sit at the feet of Jesus each and every day, at least having a conversation with him. Most times I'd encourage you to open up his word and to read it and have him reveal himself to you, to speak into your heart. And I'm going to ask you to make that decision. I don't care if you're here today saying, you know what, I'm still trying to figure this out. That's the best way to figure out who Jesus is to spend time with him. Converse with him. Tell him your doubts. Tell him your fears. Tell him the things that you question about him even. But for every one of us to be able to say, you know what, Christ is number one. He is the one thing. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to have that conversation with God if you're willing to make that commitment, and that you would just ask him to help you to sit at his feet each and every day. Let's pray. God, help us, no matter where we're at in our journey right now, that we would see that the most fulfilling thing is to be able to spend that time with you, to understand who you are, to be taught by you, and again, to think about the God of the universe that we have access to because you sent your son Jesus to this earth to die for us so that we could have salvation, so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we could call you our Father, and to never neglect that opportunity that you've given to us. Pray you help us to call out to you every single day, to come to you every single day in the awe and the worship of you. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.